Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the Writing Mama Show here on the Featured World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio. We have changed our time that we normally do the show this Monday just because I am gearing up for the St. George Book Festival, and I'm trying to coordinate with all the different guest speakers we have coming out. So every Monday I may be at a little bit different time based off that, just so my listeners know. Really quickly before I get into today's show, I want to go over some of the shows we have coming up here at the World of Ink Network. Tomorrow, Marcia Casper-Cook is back as well with her show, A Good Story is a Good Story. That will be on at 5 p.m. Eastern time. She is going to have best-selling international author, Bernard Fong, I think is how the last name is pronounced, has a seven-book series out on adolescence, and different type of situations in life. So that will be an interesting kind of story show to listen to. They're going to be talking about the recent story, which is a provocative story, about a young man who falls into kind of a clandestine sexual society, underground kind of society in the Middle East in the UK. So if you're interested in some of that kind of stuff, you may want to tune into that show. And then Irene Roth is back again this month with The Empowerment Show. She'll be talking about the parallels of overscheduling our teens and kids. She will have that show at 4 p.m. No, I'm sorry. That's going to actually be at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We changed that show time. That will be at 6 p.m. Eastern time, actually. So that will be a couple hours later than it's 4 p.m. time. And that is always a great show to join in on. It's a discussion show, so we always invite our listeners to call in or post comments in the live chat room during the show. Comments, questions, anything you can think of, we're always very open to that show. It'll be a great show to kind of talk about how to empower our teens and our children. Again, that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then Fran Lewis is on Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern with her show Book Discussion. It looks like she is having a few different authors on that show, and one of them will be talking about the Food and Drug Administration, so that will be an interesting topic on that show, so if you want to tune in. And then I think that is what I have showing as of right now, and of course I am going to be back every Monday and to the end of October, so you can definitely tune in to the Writing Mama Show every Monday and get to learn about all the different guest authors that we're going to have at the St. George Book Festival. But to talk about today's guest, I have the authors of The Gates of Atlantis on my show. I have four of them. There's six total, but only four were able to make today's show, which I'm excited about. Two of the authors, Mikey Brooks and Jacqueline, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. I believe it's Weiss is the correct pronunciation.
It's Weiss, but that's okay.
Oh, you pronounce it Weiss. See, and I'm used to the Jewish version, which is Weiss. So I'm like,
technically, if you go by the spelling, it actually is Weiss, but a great uncle or somewhere around there actually switched the letters. So it's Weiss, but it's not spelled right for that.
And trust me, I understand that because my husband tells me all the time, we're in America, so his last name is Grenier. But it's technically Grenier because it's French. So we just botched it, and everybody looks at me like I'm insane. And it drives me insane because I used to work actually with the Vendor Grenet lingerie out in Canada, so I already knew how to pronounce it correctly. And so it was really hard when I got married saying my name wrong in my mind. So, and then we also have Laura and Julie as well joining the show. So, and Laura and Julie, you guys are also hopefully going to be coming down to the St. George Book Festival. And I know we were just talking before the show about how we're still working out getting all the different venues and speakers and all finalized. So hopefully we'll actually get you guys into a speaker circuit as well. But Mikey and Jacqueline will be at Dixie State University as part of the Writer's Journey workshop, which I need to announce really quick because I have to do all this because they make me because of all the sponsors, right? when originally we were going to charge for the Writer's Journey workshop at Dixie State University, and we are changing that. So anybody who's listening from Southern Utah or is going to come down during the St. George Book Festival, which is October 20th through the 25th, October 24th is the One Day Writer's Journey workshop. So come and listen to the speakers is going to be completely free. Now you guys get to freak out more because that means we're going to probably have more people in each room. It's free. But if you want to go for the whole day and have lunch, then there is a fee for that because obviously we have to pay the college for our box lunches. So just wanted to let people know that as well. And so I guess we'll just round robin and have you guys introduce yourselves and kind of talk a little bit about your backgrounds individually. So we'll start with Laura because that's who I have on my caller list as the first name popping up. So let's use that. Okay.
So you want like a little bio where I came from?
Yeah, a little bio. And I mean, obviously we know that you're one of the authors of The Gates of Atlantis, but if you have any other books as well that you want to share.
Yeah, I grew up in southern Utah, well, south central. I grew up in a small town called Tusharem. My grandparents lived in St. George, so I always loved going down. We'd go for Thanksgiving, so St. George is one of my favorite places. I was a school teacher, and I stayed home to raise my kids, and I decided I needed to renew my teaching license, so I took an online writing class. And one of my assignments was to write a five-page story about a picture that I saw, and as I started writing the story, it went on, and it turned into a full-length manuscript. And so that's my first released book. It's called Eye on Orion, and I have the second book coming out soon. It's about a girl who falls for her next-door neighbor and finds out he's the bodyguard to an alien princess. I have a few other books that are finished that I'm working on getting revised and submitted to different places, and so lots of stories on my plate.
No, and that's really cool. And you're like the only other person I have talked to who worked on, you know, a writing assignment and then it turned into manuscript, turned into book, because that's how my picture book, Babysitting Sugar Paw, evolved. It was a writing assignment that I was doing in a writing workshop, and it went from a short story that was published in a magazine to a picture book a few years later.
Yeah.
And it was one of the very first things I've ever written.
When I first started writing, I'm like, oh, this is fun. I can write a full story. And I was looking into how to get it published. I thought, oh, it can't be that hard. You just find somebody that takes books. And, oh, my goodness, 5 years later, I finally got it out into the world.
Yeah, it's a process, that's for sure.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And Jacqueline, we'll have you share a little bit about yourself and any books that you have beyond the Gates of Atlantis.
Okay, I'm a Idaho farm girl, grew up on a potato farm. My dad's actually the National Potato Council president right now, which is pretty cool. And I've always loved to write. I actually had a picture book that I wrote in high school, and that's my baby, and I'm hoping to get that out soon. And my first published book actually came from a writing prompt, same thing, short story. The prompt was Worst Day Ever. And I'm like, well, what if someone's never had a worse day before? Mm-hmm. And so it came up with a girl who got her luck stolen by a leprechaun. And it was such a hit for the writing group that I decided to try and flesh it out. And now it's three books and a novella. So and that first one's called Stolen Luck. And then I have another book that's a twist on Sleeping Beauty. It's got a time travel twist to it. and it came from a thought that I had once upon a time. What if one day I woke up and I was a princess? And so that's where it came from. And then I have another one coming out in November called Endless. It's a take on Sleeping Beauty, I mean on Cinderella. And that was, I used to have a dream about this never-ending staircase. I could never go up or down and find a door. It was always the stairs. And so that's where this book came from. And it was fun to write. So that comes out in Thanksgiving weekend. And then I have this one. And I actually have a memoir that I wrote about our misadventures down under. We went to Australia, and it was insanity. So I'm still working on getting the edits done with that one.
Wow, you've covered quite a few different genres there.
I kind of have a little bit of everything. Oh, and I've got 6 kids, so that keeps life busy.
Yeah, I bet it does. And then, and Mikey, we have you next, and you don't just write, you also illustrate. So you've got multiple talents going on there.
Yeah, so I am an author-illustrator. I have 3 picture books that I both wrote and illustrated, including the best-selling ABC Adventures Magical Creatures. I have 5 other books out that I illustrated for other authors. I have a few more coming out this year, either this year or the beginning of next year, whenever they're putting those out. And then I have middle grade books. I've got the Dreamkeeper Chronicles and a standalone book called The Stone of Valhalla. And then I also do book covers, so I have lots and lots of book covers out.
Yeah, so you did all the book covers for Gates of Atlantis, correct?
I did, and I had fun doing them.
So I'm sure everybody in the group was very excited to have you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he finished my cover first. Sorry, this is Laura. He finished mine with the mermaids, and as soon as I saw that, that's the exact scene that I wanted to be depicted on my cover, so he knew it. You just knew what to do.
That's cool. And Julie, we'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself and your other books as well. Did we lose Julie?
Is it my turn? I'm sorry. I'm still having a hard time hearing.
Yes, your turn, Julie.
Okay, my name is Julie Caldwell. I'm just going to bust in because I can't hear much. My name is Julie Caldwell. I have 4 novels out. My first one was released by Covenant Communications in 2005. It's called Beyond Perfection, and I co-authored it with my best friend, which was a ton of fun to write. My second novel, Psyched, is a paranormal young adult story about a girl named AC who can see ghosts and demons all the time, and normally she can just vanquish them by yelling at them in Latin. But then one day, a demon just gets stronger and stronger, and he taunts her, and she just can't get rid of him, and it's what happens to her on that day when he just won't go away. My third novel, well, it's actually a novella. It's called Arms Wide Open, and it's a romance. It's kind of a fun, clean romance just about a girl who has been through a lot in her life, and her roommate forced her to go to this speed dating event, and it kind of turns into something completely unexpected, and it's about her and her choice on whether she's going to embrace the possibilities of, you know, another chance. And then my fourth novel, what we're here for today, is Secrets of the Mind. I am book 3 in the series. And it's about Adam and Clancy. They think they're going to be spending a boring summer at an archaeological dig in Africa, but then they meet a sea kelpie named Neff who needs help rescuing some naiads who've been kidnapped by Phoebos, who's our bad guy in the series. Along the way, they discover that Atlantis is real, but it's being destroyed, and they want to rescue the naiads and get to Atlantis to join the battle.
Very cool. And, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking maybe, like, 2015 we should just have, like, it called the Gates of Atlantis, you know, author book festival, because you guys cover so many genres all together.
That
we could just have you guys just kind of run the whole festival next year. And I can just sit back and just,
That's right. We'll headline for you. No problem.
Yeah, I can just sit back, you know, with my big Coke can and let you guys run it, and I'll just, you know, say, yep, I'm just the director. I just found all these guys. They're just doing it for me. It's great.
Hey, we'd be fine with that. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you guys were actually, you've guys been to Comic-Con up in Salt Lake at the Salt Palace, which is pretty exciting. What was that like, by the way?
It was crazy. I'll just call it. It was nuts. There were so many people, but it was great to meet readers. It was a lot of fun, I think.
Yes, I want to get up there and see it, because, I mean, I'm from San Diego originally, so I've been to the, you know, the original location of Comic-Con down in downtown San Diego. But I'm very interested to see what the, how Salt, you know, how it all is up at Salt Lake at the Salt Palace, because from what I understand, there's like different. It's broken up more than down in San Diego. In San Diego, it's a little bit more like a maze. So you kind of have to maze through everybody to get to the different things. They don't really have what they kind of had designated areas, but from what I understand up there, like they have like a, you know, more of like a book area and a game area, and it's a little bit more segregated into the different things so you can see like things easier from what I understand.
Yeah, it's madness. This is Jacqueline. It's madness to kind of get between them just because there are so many people, but they do have it segregated. They have a kid con with all the fun kid stuff. They had the celebrities in one spot where you could do the photo ops, and they had all the vendors pretty much in one area, and then the panels were actually out in other rooms. So it's pretty nice, you know, for a bunch of people that love to sit in their room and write instead of be out there. It was a little bit overwhelming, but it was a lot of fun. We met a lot of great people that were excited about the series. So it was, I loved it. And if you can't tell, half of us are missing our voices because
of it,
of just talking constantly while we were there.
Yeah, because that just recently wrapped up, right? Last week, I think?
Yeah, just Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. It didn't help that we have, like, the wrestlers, like, just kitty corner from us, and they were, like, really loud and shouting, and so we had to shout over them.
Yeah, and that's the picture I have up, by the way, is the fact that you guys were at Comic-Con, because it had all your guys' pictures with the books, so that's the image I used to put up for today's show, so everybody could see everything at once. But it was funny because I was watching the news the other day. I went, oh, yeah, that's right. And we're doing the show right after that wrapped up. This is going to be interesting. You guys must be exhausted. So,
Sunday, we just
right?
crashed.
Yeah. Now, I'm just
curious.
Go ahead. Where are you
going? Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say I did a lot of sleeping.
Yeah, I bet. By the way, you will be doing that after the book festival because I always do as well. When I do St. George. Now, are you guys going to, because, you know, the St. George Book Festival is part of the Utah Humanities Council's book festival they put on statewide. So we're kind of like each city or county, depending on how each area decides to do it, you know, team basically is like a sub part of the Humanities Book Council here in Utah. So St. George, even though we call it the St. George Book Festival, because St. George is obviously the biggest city in our county, it's really all of Washington County that participates. Are you guys going to be at any of the other book festivals happening throughout October in Utah as well?
Not that
not,
we know of.
I'm not, yeah.
Oh, well,
I'm glad we just told you.
I'm glad we got you down here then.
No, we're excited about it. My in-laws live down in St. George, so I'm excited to go down and visit.
Yeah, that's always a nice thing, too, right? Gives me an excuse to see family. I hear that all the time. See, now I have that excuse because my son's up in Ogden, so I now get to drive up to Ogden. And I have family up there, too, but I never go visit them, which is so bad. But now I have a better excuse to go because, obviously, I want to go see my son. And it forces me to drive that wonderful 4 to 6 hours, depending on where I decide to go along the way.
Julie, it's going to sound shallow, but I'm looking forward to St. George to work on my tan.
Yeah, well, I hate to break it to you. We've got a lot of rain right now, and I was just the other day, we were at Dixie University the other day, and we're working with Darren Edwards, who has been our liaison because he used to be a part of the English department there, and now he's got a magazine that he's working on called The Creative that he was so wonderful and has an ad in there in his first issue. It came out for the St. George Book Festival in there. But we were walking, and it was really overcast, and this was on Friday, so just last week. And we're kind of talking about, like, well, you know, do we want to come out, you know, outside into one of the pavilions, and that's where we do, like, the box lunch because, you know, obviously we're going to have the box lunch with all the speakers for the day, and anybody wants to pay to be a part of that as well. And we're going, you know, it's kind of overcast. It's been raining a lot. I'm thinking we're going to have really bad weather during the book festival. And it's always hit and miss. Sometimes it's really windy and cold. Sometimes it rains. And then sometimes we have great weather. But I think we're going to have, like, the raining and windy and cold weather, unfortunately, this time around. So I don't know about that. So cross your fingers.
Well,
you know,
okay.
Hopefully we'll
have books, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Exactly.
And well, we have books for those rainy days.
Yeah, well, we're excited because this year the book festival is going to be at the St. George Children's Museum up on their third floor. So that's going to be an exciting difference from the festivals we've done in the past. Now, I'm just kind of curious, and I'm going to let you guys just kind of jump in. What, you know, because as writers, I mean, obviously we love to write because of, we just enjoy the written word. Usually we're avid readers ourselves. Usually it's because as kids we liked books and it was a great, you know, way to escape. You know, maybe we're like Mikey and also we're lucky enough to have great artistic skills and not draw sick people like I do. But, you know, what would you say was probably the biggest influence to help you cross from being a lover of the written word and a reader to actually writing books?
The one thing
This is Julie. I'll just go first.
I'm sorry, who wants to go first? I had Julie and I had someone else.
I'm just trying to clarify the question. Julie can go ahead.
Julie, want to go ahead first?
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I don't want to cut anybody else off. I personally have been writing my whole life, and I was, I'll be honest, I was an emotional train wreck as a teenager and a young child. So for me, I wanted to create these characters that were just everything I wanted to be when I was a kid, and I wanted kids like me to be able to, you know, read a book and say, hey, you know what, I can do this too. I can be this amazing, brave person. I hope that translates in my character, so that's what I'm going for.
That's very cool. Who else wants to jump in?
Laura, you go next.
This is Laura. I would always tell my kids stories on our long travels as we'd be driving back and forth from wherever we were headed. And the kids just loved it when I made up these strange, weird stories. And on one of those drives, my husband turned to me and he said, you know what? That would make a good story. And when I got that little bit of that pat on the back that said, hey, you could actually do something like that, that's when I decided to actually look into publishing that story that I told you about from the Eye on Orion. I thought, you know, if somebody tells me that it was a nice thing, that they liked that story, then I might as well try it.
Good idea. How about Jack? Go ahead, Jack. We'll have you go.
Okay, so I've always enjoyed writing. We used to have young authors at our school. I guess it was school district-wide, and I always wanted to win. I always wanted to get a story in there, and I never did, but I was bound and determined to get a book out there. And then my senior year, I worked in the library, and when I had free time, I'd go on the computer, and I'd be like, okay, I'll grab an animal and a name, and I'll just go with it. So the story that I said is my baby, but it's a picture book, is about an anteater that's allergic to ants. and I just went with it. And then I stopped writing as much when I went through college, and then I actually had a bookstore back in 2010 and got a writing group. And I'm like, you know what, I've got to get something. And wrote that Luck book, and I was just so afraid that after that I wouldn't have any more ideas. And then I laugh because now all of a sudden I have story idea after story idea. And one of the things that I want to do, we're starting an arts council out here in where I'm from, in Eagle Mountain, and one of the things that I'm in charge of is actually getting people to want to write. And so I'm excited to see how that goes and see how many kids I can get excited to write like I did.
Yeah, that's very cool. How about you, Mikey? What got that crossover for you?
Well, I've always been a doodler, as in drawing. I kind of got that. My grandmother was an artist. My dad was an artist, so it kind of just came down the line. But my writing, I started writing stories when I was about 13, when I was in Missouri and had no friends and lived on a farm and surrounded by nothing but woods. And so that's when I started writing because I was bored. So I made up things out of boredom and then, went from there, got my degree in writing, and it didn't take me anywhere. So I decided to, you know, put myself somewhere on my own. So
yeah.
Self-published my first book after.
And I was saying, after you used to be a baker, which you don't do anymore.
Yes, I used to run a bakery, I used to be a cake decorator and run a bakery, and I don't do that anymore. Now I just draw and write.
Actually pretty cool, you know. I mean, how many people get to say they get to quit their one job to do another job that, and you had two fun jobs, you know, and I guess, you know, people tell me I did too because I worked in fashion, but working as fashion as a buyer, let me tell you, is they make it look all glamorous, like on the Devil Wears Prada and stuff, but you have a lot of people like Meryl Streep, honestly, that you're dealing with, so even though it looks glamorous, you're also, like, stressed out like all the other characters because you have Meryl Streep's running around you, so it's not glamorous in the stress realm of it all. But I would love to be a baker and then, like, write and illustrate as well because, I mean, those would be just two fun things to do in life. So I think Mikey just has had, like, you know, the funnest jobs in around.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed my jobs. They're always creative. So, I mean, when you get to decorate cakes, it's similar to painting or drawing. You get to create something cool.
Now, we'll go Julie, Mikey, Jacqueline, and Laura. We'll go reverse of my list. But what I want you each to share with me something that after you've written a book that maybe you heard from a fan or you know, something that you fan mail that you may have gotten. Like what was like that moment where you had a fan come up and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe this is finally happening. Because, I mean, that's, like, the biggest thing I know as an author for myself is when I have that one fan that comes up and I realize I have touched somebody, you know, be it that they, you know, send me fan mail or just, you know, tell me they like my book or whatever the case may be. I would just love for you guys each to share something about that. We'll start with Julie.
The first one for me was the first book that I had, Beyond Perfection. It came out a long time ago, and we honestly hadn't heard anything about it. And then a couple of years ago, my co-author said the mother of a girl came to her and thanked her and me for writing this book that her daughter absolutely loved. Her daughter passed away from cancer. And at her funeral, they had this table of things that she loved, and our book was on that table. And that just made me cry. And I'm not a weeper, you know, but I started to cry. I was like, oh, my gosh, that it meant something to somebody. So you pour your heart and soul into this thing, and you don't know if people are going to like it. And then that was it, boom. And then I'm very active on Twitter now, and I got a fan letter just recently from Bulgaria. This girl found Spiked on Amazon, and she loved it. And then even just this weekend at Comic-Con, we had kids who bought Secrets of the Mind and came back for another book in the series because they loved it so much. That makes it worthwhile to me.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. How about you, Mikey? Are you there, Mikey?
Sorry, I have my phone on mute. I have my phone on mute, and I kept hitting the button, and it wasn't working. You know what the coolest thing was? It was last year that this happened that I got an email from a reader, and he was 12 or 13, and he had said in his email that something he read in one of the Dreamkeeper books helped him out in a school situation that he was struggling in. And I think that was, like, the coolest thing that I ever, like, had, because that's my main goal in writing is to try to, you know, I write fun stories. I have lots of action and adventure and stuff, but the theme of my stories, I hope, helps kids with stuff. And that was really cool because, you know, he shared that, you know, it had helped him overcome this bully situation because he did what my main character did. And then it solved the problem, which was really cool. And then also, just last week, I got my first email sent to me from one of my readers for fan art, and that was super awesome for me. I've always, because I'm an art person.
Yes.
I love to art, and like it was cool. And he's like, oh, he writes this little thing, and he's like, oh, I hope you can tell what scene this is from. And I'm like, yeah, of course I can tell what scene it's from. And apparently, it's his favorite scene in the book. You know, it was where the guy is fighting a dragon and stuff, and it was just awesome. So I posted it on Facebook after I got
and
it
I
the
saw
permission
that.
And stuff. But,
yeah,
it was so cool.
I saw the post of the artwork. It was very cool. How about you, Jacqueline? What would you say is was a defining moment for you where you were like, I finally have reached, you know, at least, you know, one person with what I'm doing?
I had, you know, my books are, the Leprechaun ones were kind of more for young adult, but my niece and nephew that are 7 and 9 absolutely love the books. So it's just fun to hear, you know, when my sister tells me the reactions they have. They're like, you should have seen them in the last book. They were jumping up and down and so excited and just loved the ending. And, you know, anytime my niece finds anything with four-leaf clovers, she has to buy it for me. And I had a book launch in June, and my nephew had just gotten a haircut, and he put some gold dye in his little spike for the leprechauns. And, you know, and that's really fun. And the coolest thing was, now I'm probably going to cry, was after this last book that's coming out in November called Cinderella, I got this raving email message from my mom about how cool it was. And, you know, you always want to have your parents proud of you or whatever. And just the raving reaction that she got was just awesome. And, you know, I'm like, did you like the ending? And she's like, that's why I wrote the email. It was just so awesome. And, you know, always the reviews that you get from your fans on Amazon or whatever, when they tell you, you know, I like how strong the family is, I like how clean it is or whatever else, and it's just like, yes, I got the message across. I grew up with a really strong family, and, you know, you don't get a lot of books out there that have strong families, you know, that there's a lot of broken families or whatever, and it's fun to see them excited to see the purpose of your book. And, yeah. And you know, every good review that you get out there is just like, woohoo! You know, but it's just fun to see the little cute little notes that I get from my niece and my nephew. They're probably the biggest, my biggest fans, you know. And and my son's fifth grade class read it March and April, and my second book in that series came out with not enough time for them to read it in class, and so they actually, the teacher let them check out the second book, mm-hmm. and like every day they'd come back and they will, you know, each student would have read it, the whole thing, and would bring it back the next day, so it actually went through several classmates before the end of the year, so I thought that was fun that they liked it that much.
No, that's very funny.
You know, sorry for the tears. Julie says that she's not, you know, one that weeps. I cry over everything.
And don't worry about it, Jacqueline, because believe it or not, there's been many times where I've done shows, especially we have a show called Family Matters that I co-host with Marcia Casper Cook, who's my partner at the World of Ink Network, and there's been so many times where you can hear me, like, choking back to, like, not get emotional on the air as the host. So I've been there many times, so don't worry about it. We're used to that here. It happens. How about you, Laura? What would you say has been some of your defining moments, or like a major defining moment for you with a fan?
Well, I have a niece that was in seventh grade last year, who her English teacher was trying to find books for the entire class to read, and she wanted to find a sci-fi. She says, mm-hmm. I'm having so much trouble finding sci-fi that's appropriate for teens, because it's got either too much sex or violence, or it's really strange and weird and far out there. And so my niece told the teacher, she's like, I know of a great one, a new one that just came out. So she gave her my contact info. This teacher ordered 10 of my books for her class so that they could read them throughout their class time. And then I got to do a Skype interview with all three classes. And it was so cool because these kids had lists of questions that they wanted to ask me. And it was a lot of fun. And then mostly the girls in the class were the ones that read it. But I started to tell them about our Gates of Atlantis series. And the boys in the back just perked up when I was trying to explain how the story was going. And the teacher's like, I definitely want to hear about that Gates of Atlantis when you guys get it done. So she'll probably get some sets for our class, for her class, I hope. But it's kind of nice when I wanted to write clean stories so that kids
at any age could read it. And I've had, I had like a 60-something-year-old grandma say, I like stories that are exciting and thrilling and that there's just enough romance that it doesn't make me blush. And that my daughter, she's 12 now, she would only read the, those like comic graphic novels, the Bones and the Diary of a Wimpy Kid and things like that. I really struggled trying to get her to read other kind of novels. And so when my book came and it was delivered as the printed format, she picked it up and starts reading it, and she read the whole thing faster than she's read most other books. She likes reading, but she's not a huge, she doesn't read tons and tons and tons of it. So when she finished that and she started talking to me about my story, I was like, yay, I've got a book that my daughter will read.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Well,
and you guys, honestly, Laura, you and Mike, you both segued into what I was going to ask next, which is, you know, with the Gates of Atlantis, because, I mean, you guys obviously had to come together as a group and collaborate on, you know, what the series was going to be about and the direction it was going to go. And, I mean, and each one of you guys wrote a different book in the series, which, you know, it, which to me is so much different than co-authoring. I mean, not that co-authoring is easy either, but you guys co-authored, but co-authored by writing individual books for a series, which means, you know, one author is doing this book and another author is doing this book, but you have to make sure the books all flow with each other because it's not like you're working on each book together, you know, to write it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, and we'll start with you, Laura, and then go back down the list to Jacqueline, then Mikey, and then Julie. What was some of the, you know, main themes that you guys really wanted to touch on with the series? And I know sometimes as a writer you don't always realize you hit on certain themes, but, you know, what would you say was, like, one of the important things that you brought up as part of the, you know, authors in the group that you felt you wanted to see happen with the series?
Well, we tried to do something that had that we hadn't seen done before, and what was really cool to me is we had J.R. wrote the point of view of the bad guy. So we had to find out why the bad guy was doing what he was doing, and then we each kind of either we made up our own minions that would have been serving Phoebos so that we could have our own bad guy for our own series. But we wanted to show how younger kids can deal with big problems, that they can fight against a bad guy, and it might not be the bad guy in person, but they can fight against something that's against what they believe in, and they do it with or without help from their parents, with or without help from their friends, but that by having that support from friends and parents, they get a little bit more, and they can go a little bit farther than they can on their own. But we wanted to show that kids could do something against something hard and scary for them.
That's cool. How about you, Jacqueline? What would you say was a big thing that you focused in on and shared with the group as an important fact in the Gates of Atlantis series to have in there?
I think, you know, making kids realize that they can do anything, you know. My characters were 13, and I think they're both 13, and they had to go up against the bad guy. Aaliyah, she's half mermaid, half Atlantean, and she had to stay in hiding her whole life because of who she was. And her dad was good friends with Phoebos. And she kind of had to go up against him to do what she knew needed to be done. She wanted to save her mom. She wanted to save her family. And she was willing to do anything she could to do that. And Paulin, on the other side, he finally got the family that he'd always wanted and wanted to help save Atlantis with Aaliyah. You know, it's a lot of wanting to help each other, come up against the biggest odds to overcome them. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing along with all of the kids. You know, everyone in that series is, you know, between 13 and 14 and 15. And they had to go up against a guy that had been around for a couple centuries, you know, trying to destroy this this city that they loved so much and the magic. So, you know, we just wanted to show people that they could, you know, that they could do it, that they have the strength to do it.
Very cool. How about you, Mikey? What would you contribute to this?
I guess one thing that hasn't been touched on, which is kind of interesting because we were bringing up JR's book a lot, but I see this throughout all the other books, is the choices that we make have big consequences. So, and I think that shows a lot up in a lot of the books, but mostly in JR's, because when we see the bad guy when he's young, when he's a kid, mm-hmm. be bullied, and instead of, like, doing something, like, he takes the wrong path with it, and it, like, ends up shaping the rest of his life for the bad. But even our own characters have opportunities where they can make, where they have to make a choice, and, you know, luckily for them, they took the right choice, but we could see the bad choice that came about with Phobos, and which is kind of cool. I think we all focus, I always wanted, like, I was always pushing everybody to have them, the books be, have oomph to them. I wanted them to be fast-paced and fun to read, and I think we accomplished that really well in all the books. It was fun to read everybody's book, and it was exciting when your character would show up in their book and stuff. So it was really cool.
That's cool.
I think
you,
we
Julie?
Did well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Julie, what would you say was an important thing that you wanted to see happen throughout the series when you guys were working on this?
Well, first of all, I have to give Jacqueline and Laura huge props for doing a lot of the world building to give us, you know, me as a writer, a place to, you know, to put my characters in something to work toward, and then to Mikey for bringing us all together in the final battle, because all of our characters appear in the battle for Acropolis, so he had a huge job making sure all of our characters were consistent and doing something to bring about what our goals were, which was to save Atlantis. In Secrets of the Mine, Adam and Clancy, at first, they just can't stand each other. So I hope that what my readers get from that is that, you know, if you don't like somebody at first, it's okay to give them a second chance. You might find a new best friend. And Neff coming in, he's my sea kelpie. Neff coming in, he's just funny, and he calls Adam out when Adam is a jerk. And Adam realizes, you know what, I need to be nice if I want to be a friend too. But the cool thing that I wanted to get across about Adam as well is that he just had faith. Like, he always believed in Atlantis. He believed in mythology. He believed in the magic. And I just want people to understand that it's okay to believe in what you believe in. Just be yourself, and you're going to reach your goals. You might even do things that you never thought were possible.
No, that's very, very good point. So,
that's cool what Julie said. Sorry, I didn't want to talk. I was like, that's cool what Julie said, because I see that in all the books, too. It's a really good thing that she pointed out.
No, that's great. Well, I'm curious, and we'll start with Julie and work back up the list again. What was it like, because I know you guys don't all live in the same city, let alone even, I think, not even in the same county in some instances. What was it like trying to get your schedules to basically work together, writing this series? Because, I mean, like you said, you had world building, you have character development, you had, you know, just the overall, you know, theme of the series itself that you guys had to come together on. What was that like, Julie? What would you say was one of the easiest and one of the hardest things about working in that environment as a writer?
The term herding cats comes to mind. We're all parents. Some of us have jobs. JR works full-time, which is why he wasn't able to be with us today. We have families. We have responsibilities. So thank goodness for Facebook. We have a private Facebook page where we are able to discuss a lot of these things and questions and issues and schedules as they come up. And we met once in person, which was great to meet these people that we've been talking to for so long. But mostly it's been online contact.
Wow. It just me, I understand that, because that's how the World of Ink functions. Our network is that way, because my partner Marcia's out in Chicago, and I'm out here in southern Utah, and we actually cross east to west coast. We even have one off one of our hosts who's out in Canada. So I understand the whole online trying to network and work with a group of people.
Uh-huh.
Not easy. Not easy. Mikey, what would you say was a pro and a con to working in this group and writing this series with the dynamics of everything?
It was fun. I don't know if I would be up to doing it ever again because it was hard. But the thing is, but now that we've done it, I think we would know how to do it right without having, I mean, I'm sure you're going to have, you know, kinks in the way because, I mean, you've got six brilliant, creative-minded people coming together, and some of our ideas clashed. And so there's things that we could have done that, had we known that they would have had conflicts later on when we came up, but I think we worked well through them. I think we only met in person once, and not everybody was even there. So it was, and I think everybody's books were mostly finished by that point, too. So it was a lot of just online collaboration, and it was a lot of letting go, being okay with somebody saying, now this is the direction the magic is going to take. This is the direction that the world needs to be. And you know, because as writers, we always want to control everything in our world, and we're like, well, this is the world I envisioned, and now you just changed it. And you have to be willing to compromise and to give up a little bit of what you wanted something to be in. Yeah, but then in the end, it's awesome. I mean, just how it all came together. I think I'm thinking God had something to do with it. I don't want to, like, agree in religion, but I think he really did, like, soften some of, at least my heart, and because I'm a really big control freak. I mean, I'm self-published. There's a reason for that. and I'm very picky about, like, how things should be, and so I will fight and fight and fight, and I'm glad everybody put up with me.
And you don't come across that way, Mikey. You do not come across that way. You come across as one of the nicest authors I know. So the fact that you're saying that by yourself, I'm like, really? I don't see that.
Yeah, I am flawed. I have a problem taking the lead. That question when you get interviewed and they ask you that. Gentleman, what is your weakness? You know, that question in an interview. Well, that is my weakness. I cannot help but take over and take the lead. And so I guess that's why I always worked in management. And so I was always the boss. And it's hard for me to let other people have a say because we're all equals in the group. No one person is the boss. But I think I tried to take over a lot of times. And, yeah, I'm sorry for that, ladies.
I'm sure all the women are glad that you're owning up to that, though, because, you know, guys owning up to that is not easy. And trust me, I know, because I'm very much an alpha personality, and my husband always has to remind me that my family is not my staff and that I don't manage them. So I understand. How about you, Jacqueline? What would you say was some of the, you know, easier parts versus the harder parts of working in this group?
I would have to agree with Julie and Mikey on a lot of it. You know, it was really fun to get together and come up with the initial idea, and the fact that we got to do Atlantis was just a fun idea. But, you know, there were things just down to what are the tunnels going to look like? What are the, you know, how are we going to interact with Sivos? And all these different things that came together and, you know, thank heavens for Facebook, really, because we have a forever long stream going on about just anything from the tiniest detail up to, okay, how are we going to market it? How are we going to, you know, where do we want to go? How are we going to do our website? And, you know, yeah, there were definite arguments, and I don't think Mikey's the only control freak. I think we all have what we want to do with it. I'm kind of a one where I can be quiet and I can let things go and I can be the peacemaker, but when I want something the way it is, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to say something about it. You know, so it's just a control thing. And, you know, we've all made our own worlds. Every one of us have some kind of fantasy going on, whether it's fighting demons or fighting battle unicorns or, you know, going up into another world with Orion. You know, we've all created our own worlds, and so we're used to that. And to try and bend and shape around everybody else was really difficult. You know, and some people are outliners, and some people are fly by the seat of your pants, which I am totally that way. So having even the smallest outline was hurting my brain, you know.
I had fun when I could get into the story, I could fly through it. But if I had to think about, okay, now we've got to have the tunnel look this way, and we've got to meet up at this point, and we've got to, you know, any smallest outline just really hurt my brain. So it was learning how to do that was a challenge for me. But it was a great challenge. It pushed me and taught me new ways to do it. And, you know, between, you know, whether we would do it again or not, it depends. Like Mikey said, we've learned a lot from this one. I could probably do it again and just work out all the details at the beginning so we're not having to butt heads all the way through. But I've had my sister and several other people say that the writing is seamless between the series. So I'm thrilled to death with how it turned out. And, you know, reading through each one of them, it's been so much fun to see how they all work together and see how all the characters interact. So while all of the stuff was going on in the background, I think the series ended up coming together really well. And, you know, Comic-Con was fun to work around each other and listen to listen to each of the authors tell their version of how Atlantis came about and how they did it. It was fun to see everybody come together to do this project.
Yeah, that sounds great. How about you, Laura? What would you add to all this?
I have discovered something about myself. I am a complete planner in my personal life. If my husband wants to go on a trip, I need to know like a week in advance so that I can prep everything for it. But when I'm a writer, I'm a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants in the story. I have the beginning idea, I know who the characters are, and I know about where they should end, but all of the writing in between is just, it comes to me as I go, as I meet the characters and as I get to know them. Mm-hmm. So with this project, we started discussing it, I think, in like September, getting the idea together. And then in the month of October, we did a lot of Skype calls, we did a lot of chatting online so that we could find out the motivation of the bad guy, what we wanted our world to look like, who our characters were going to be, and possibilities of where we might meet up with each other. And so for NaNoWriMo, that's National Novel Writing Month, you're given the goal to write 50,000 words in the month of November. And I wrote 50,000 words in 9 days. That's the fastest I've ever done any kind of manuscript. So I only had to finish another 3,000 words to finish my story after I got back with the group. I needed to check and make sure that the way I ended it left it open for the other stories and that I didn't give too much away. So it was kind of neat to be able to have the back and forth feedback and have the whole story idea in my head, but still be given enough freedom that I could write what I wanted to. And then the back and forth and reading each other's manuscripts and getting feedback from each other. With Julie helping me out, I cut it down from 56,000 words, I think, was my final first draft. She helped me cut it down to 48,000, and I got rid of a bunch of stuff that didn't need to be there, tightened it up, made it more fast and exciting, because Mikey likes fast and exciting stories. And so having five other people work so closely with me on this one little project, it was one of the best experiences that I've had writing. It's also been one of the hardest because that, you know, that headbutting and saying, no, I already wrote this in my world and now you want me to change it? That will make everything strange. And so there were some really, really good things about this process and there were some hard things that we had to have a lot of give and take. And I had to give up on some of my things, but on other places I had to say, you know what? We really need it to be this way because of this reason and that reason. And we came to compromises that worked out for all of us. So it was, we wanted to kill each other during certain parts of this series. I think that these writers in this group, I think I've made some lifelong friendships with them. It's been awesome.
Julian, I just want to agree with that. Seriously, I mean, we did. We had headbutting along the way, but we're still friends. We had a great time at Comic-Con this weekend, and I think it's because we're all mature enough to look at the series and what we were trying to do together and say, you know what? What this series is going to be is bigger than what I want, and we were all dedicated to bringing that story to readers.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, listen to you guys talk about this part of it, you know, the behind-the-scene working on the Gates of Atlantis. I mean, a lot of authors, at least professional authors, at one point, even if, you know, they move on like James Dasher has and has his book, The Maze Runner, becoming a movie. I don't know if James even shows up at a critique group anymore. But, you know, we all start off usually like in a writer's group, taking writer's classes, going to critique groups and all of that at some point in our writing career. If we do or don't stay with it as our careers progress is a whole other story. But it's always hard because writing is such a solitude kind of adventure for an author. And so when you go into those type of situations and you get the feedback and, you know, a lot of it's, you know, corrective criticism and we don't like it as much, but it's there to help us be better writers. You know, a lot of times we can say, take it with a grain of salt, you know, let it roll off your shoulders kind of attitude, or even when we're working with an editor on our own book. But with you guys, it wasn't just that because you were writing the same series as well. And like you're saying, you had to make sure you didn't add too much. You didn't, you know, have an ending to where it made it difficult for somebody else's book or the next few books after yours to continue on. So I think that overall as a writer, I think you guys have probably grown so much versus how a lot of writers, you know, it takes them years to gain a lot of what you guys did over, you know, writing the series because of the fact that everybody intimately knew the story and the characters as well as you did versus just, you know, coming and reading a few pages and giving some feedback based off their own opinion, you know?
I think another thing that we've all learned, too, is working with deadlines because we gave each other deadlines. And if you haven't had the opportunity to write with a deadline, it sure does change the way you look at your book. Like, because some people are like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, finish this whenever it gets finished. But we're like, no, you have a certain day that you have to have your manuscript done. You know, to have this time, it has to be edited. We have to read them all by this time. And so it was fun it was educational to have that experience because now if an editor were to give me a deadline, I know I could make it because I've done it with these other authors.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point, Mikey. Now, you guys also indie published this series as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and Mike, I know you've gone through the indie publishing route before. So, have any of you ladies done the indie route before, or was this your first experience with it?
This is Lara. This is my first experience with it, but I have a series that I'm working on that I'm planning on self-publishing, and so this was like the best training ever.
How about you, Jacqueline? Was this your first experience?
This is my first experience, and I absolutely loved it, honestly. I loved being able to have the control of where I'm going to put it and how I'm going to do it, and I learned how to upload on everything. I learned how to use iTunes and upload books on there, and so now I'm like, can I get my fingers on any of the other books so I could do it? So I think I'd be ready to do it again. I've worked with Trifecta Books for my Princess series, and I've worked with one other Wheat Creek, and I've actually enjoyed doing the indie publishing. I could do it again in a heartbeat because I just learned so much this time around.
Wow, how about you, Julie?
My first book was traditionally published, and I learned so much through that experience, and I kind of prefer the independence and the creative control I have over my writing as an indie. So I think I'm going to stick with indie for sure.
I mean, what an experience for you guys. And trust me, I know because I used to be a chief editor for an indie publisher. And even though, you know, we still did the editing and stuff, so because obviously you guys want to have, you know, what you guys obviously went through, the whole editing and the polished look of traditional publishing in your indie book, it is a process. I mean, there's so much to learn, and it's constantly changing and you know, new ideas and ways of doing things. So I can't even imagine after working in this group trying to then indie publish the series at the same time. So, I mean, kudos to you guys for taking on this huge project, by the way, because it was a huge project to take on. And you guys released all the books at the same time, which never happens in a series as well.
We had readers at Comic-Con thank us. Uh-huh. Thank you for putting them all out so I don't have to wait. It was great feedback from all of the guests at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I
agree.
That.
And we have to, we have to give props to Mikey because he did all the formatting for all the books. And the poor guy has to
had to put out one of his books later because he was working so long and so hard on these things. So big props to Mikey for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because you'll have to all get together and make him. For putting up, and trust me, I know what formatting is like because when I used to run my Stories for Children magazine, it is not easy to do, Mikey, so I feel for you in that. Formatting is probably one of the worst jobs.
It was fun.
Again, that was it was like one of my, things. I want it to look a certain way, so I'm going to make sure that I do all the formatting so they all look the same. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a win-win.
Yeah, did you guys find that each person kind of took on different jobs? Like, Mikey, you were doing the book covers, the formatting. Did you find that each one of you kind of fell into specific roles as the project was progressing?
Felt we did. I know that, JR was always our villain expert because he was, writing the villain story. We all went to Julie, we would send it to Julie for, content because she does freelance editing, so we would send it to her to kind of get feedback on stuff from her. We had different Laura was our expert on the mermaids. We all sort of became these experts on these different magical creatures. Wendy became the expert on the banshees and the Egyptian folklore, and Julie brought up I just had a brain fart.
African.
Thank you, folklore. So, we each, had... I did the map of the city, so... And I work a lot with Laura on that, with trying to figure out where was what in the city. And, so we did become our own little experts in certain areas, and then we would go to each other to make sure we, did something right.
That's very cool. Now, we're getting, we're already into our hour of the show, so we have, about 30 minutes left, and I would like for you each to be able to share, we're obviously learn more about you as an author, your other books. We'll put you last, Mikey, because we'll have you share about where the website is. So we'll start with Laura. Laura, where can our listeners find out more about you, your books?
I have a website. It's www.larabastian.com. At least I think it is.
Better go check it.
And I have a Facebook author page. I have a Facebook fan, a Facebook author page, and also on the Amazon, there's an author page where you can find more information about me. Okay, so my website is laradbastian.com.
Got it. Okay. And how about you, Jacqueline? Where can our listeners learn more about you and your books as well?
I'm on Facebook with my author page, and that's actually connected to Twitter, so you could get me on either one. My handle on Twitter is just @JacquelineWiest. And my blog is jacquelineweest.blogspot.com. And then I'm on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And then our Gates of Atlantis page as well.
And Julie?
I have a Facebook page called Julie Caldwell. I'm not even saying my name right. Julie Caldwell, author, and there's no E in Julie, just J-U-L-I, and that's what I use across the board, juliecaldwell.blogspot.com, Julie Caldwell author. On Twitter, I'm @I'mJulieCaldwell, all one word, and I love interacting with readers on Twitter, so I'm really active there. Come chat and say hi. I'd love to hang out and talk to you online.
That's cool. I'm still not active on Twitter, so glad you're somebody is. How about you,
I am
Mikey,
going to
where...
stalk you now.
You'll
find
probably
you.
Will. Mikey, and how about you? Where can they find all about you? And then I'll have you share about where all the information is for Gates of Atlantis as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'm everywhere online. My main website is insidemikeysworld.com. You can find links on there as well to other places. I'm part of the Emblazoners group, which is a middle grade writing society, I guess, which is emblazoners.com. I'm on Facebook. I believe it's under Mikey Brooks on Facebook. I'm on Twitter as Mikey Brooks, Pinterest, all those other fun places. I have a blog, which is written by mikey.blogspot.com, and you can also find me at foreverwriters.com, which is the author's think tank. Hopefully, we haven't been doing our podcast. We've had a little halt, but we're hoping to get it started up again.
That's cool.
And can I throw it in for Wendy really quick? And then
someone
wants to grab JR. It's wendyknightauthor.blogspot.com, and then she's on Facebook, and she actually has a street team on Facebook. It's Wendy's Warriors. She's on Wattpad. She's on Twitter. She's on she does iWrite. She's all over the place.
And what about JR?
JR is on Facebook. He also has a blog, but I don't know if I – oh, it's jrsimmons.wordpress.com where
he
can be found.
He also has a Facebook page for his Rage Song series. Just search for Rage Song, all one word, on Facebook, and you can find his series that way as well.
Okay. Very cool. And then what about Gates of Atlantis? Where can everybody find the Gates of Atlantis, which is a series that they can buy every single book of and not wait for, which is the best way to do it.
That's right. So if you want to find out about the book series, you can go to our website, which is gatesofatlantis.com, and that has links to all the books there. It also has a little page about the author, so you can find out about us, more about us and our books. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/Gates of Atlantis. You can go ahead and like us, and we post when we have like author signings coming up, when we have giveaways, when we have sell prices and stuff on that. And we're all the books are available on ebook everywhere. So Kobo, Kindle, Nook, iTunes, all those places. You just search Gates of Atlantis. You can buy them individually as an ebook, or you can buy the entire series together as an ebook.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Well, I am excited that you guys were able to make it on the show today, especially after doing Comic-Con. I'm sure you guys are all ready to go crash again. Try to get more rest in. I would if I was you. I can't imagine. And I know it's going to be crazy when October hits. Just because there's so much going on in the state of Utah with the book festivals happening throughout the state. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of craziness popping up, you know, outside of just the St. George Book Festival. And hopefully you guys will, you know, be at some of the other different events statewide. I wish I was running it, but I'm not.
We are doing an author palooza for Salt Lake County Library Systems, and
that's cool.
On the 27th of September. So.
Very, 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 very cool. And you guys may want to just, like, try and contact, and he's going to love that I'm going to announce this on the thing, but his name's Michael McLean, and he's over at the Humanities Council. He oversees all the book festivals in Utah, and I think he's also part of, what is it called, Utah's Library for the Book or something like that. But anyways, that's our contact person. So I would contact him and see how else you guys can get involved in your local areas as well, because I know there's stuff going on everywhere. I'm only here in St. George as the director, so unfortunately I don't know what everybody has going on, but I'll share that with you guys. And
awesome.
I am looking forward to having you
down
in St. George in October. You know, I know you guys will, it will be the 24th and 25th, which is when you guys will be down for the one-day writing workshop, and then the book expo on the 25th. So very, very excited about that, and I'm excited because it's at Dixie State on the 24th and then at the Children's Museum on the 25th, so two huge high-traffic locations. So lots of people for you guys to talk to and meet, and I'm excited to meet you all in person, and especially Mikey, because I've known Mikey for a little over a year now via online, so it's always
and
fun.
And we never
to,
met.
And we've never met in person, so I love when I get to talk to authors and then get to meet you guys in person, so... I'm looking forward to it, and I'm definitely looking forward to October and having you guys down here in well, I hope sunny St. George. Hopefully it'll be sunny, crossing my fingers. But thank you again for coming on to the Writing Mama Show today. It's been great talking to you guys, talking about writing, talking about, you know, working on that series together, The Gates of Atlantis. I wish you guys all a lot of success, because
Thank you.
You guys sound like amazing authors, and to pull off what you did in this big project is just phenomenal. So good luck with it all.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It was awesome.
Yes, thank you.
And I just quickly want to let our listeners know, again, some of the upcoming things here on the World of Ink Network that we have scheduled. Tomorrow is Marcia Casper's Cook's A Good Story is a Good Story show. That will be on at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, 3 Pacific, 3 Mountain, 2 Pacific. Get my time zones correctly. And then, again, the Empowerment Show is on Wednesday, and that will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern. I know it says 4 p.m., but it's actually 6 p.m. Eastern, and I will find out what's going on, why that hasn't been fixed. And then, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific. And then Thursday is Fran Lewis Show book discussion, and that will be on at 4 Eastern Time, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, 1 Pacific. And then I'm able to see the rest of our shows now. We also have the Paranormal Hour with Willow Cross and Tracy Ford, and that will be on Friday. That will be on at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. And that is the shows we have lined up for the rest of this week, and I will be on again Monday, September 15th at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, so that will be noon Eastern Time for the Writing Mama Show, and I have author Terry Harmon who will be on that show. She is another guest author that will be a part of the St. George Book Festival, so we'll be talking about that and her books and just a little bit about the writing life as well, so definitely tune into that. We definitely invite anybody who would like to know more about the St. George Book Festival to visit stgeorgebookfestival.org. We have from October 20th through the 25th a bunch of events happening. We're working on getting authors in schools, out in the public libraries. Obviously, we'll be at the Children's Museum. We'll be at Dixie State University and hopefully a few other venues as well. We'll be at Barnes & Noble, local authors in the Washington County area of Utah. We'll be at Barnes & Noble on October 20th. So if you're in or around this area and you want to find out how many authors are here, we have over 15 authors locally that will be at that event. So that's pretty significant for Washington County. So we have that many published authors. And then, of course, we want to send a thanks out to all of our supporters, which is the City of St. George, the City of St. George Arts Commission, the St. George Children's Museum, the Washington County School District Foundation, Dixie State University, Eureka Casino down in Mesquite, Write It Up. Obviously, the World of Ink Network is also helping with the St. George Book Festival. And I think that is everybody. I hope I didn't miss anyone. The Utah State Poetry Society. I almost forgot somebody. And then, of course, the Washington County Library System. So without their support, the St. George Book Festival wouldn't happen, and of course our biggest supporter, which is the Utah Humanities Council. And I thank all of our listeners for tuning into the Writing Mama Show today, and have a good week. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.